Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It is an interrogative par excellence. It begins many, 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 many questions. It requires an answer. And the "it" that I am talking about is "if." If you have three cookies and I have two cookies, well, first of all, I would begin eating my cookies, right? How many cookies would we have? And actually, my guess would be zero because we were both enjoying our cookies, right? If Tuesday is the fourth, what day is Sunday? If you can't do that, please let us know. You see, "if" can be amazingly hopeful or dreadfully malicious. "If" is incredibly powerful for just a two-letter word, and it is the word that seems to drive the temptation story in today's gospel reading. In the story of Jesus' temptation, which we have heard again this morning, this temptation happens as Jesus is in the wilderness for 40 days, which gives us our 40 days in the season of Lent. And in this story, we see all sorts of things happening. Like the transfiguration story from last week, there are many moving parts in the story. But it begins following Jesus' baptism by John in the River Jordan. That time when that voice from heaven sounded and the Spirit was descending like a dove. Well, that same Spirit then drives Jesus into the wilderness as his path back home. Instead of following the roads or the ways that most travelers would take, Jesus spent the next 40 days in the wilderness, in the wild places, on the rough ways. While struggling with that wilderness journey, Jesus is also fasting. No food, little water to be found along the way. And this is where our story begins. A first question for me at this time is always, why? Why would Jesus do this? Why refrain from food? Why take the rough way and not the pathway? Why? Well, the easy answer is, because the Spirit drove him to do this. The Spirit of the Lord urged Jesus to spend time collecting himself before he began his ministry. The Spirit of the Lord urges us to spend this time in Lent collecting ourselves. It is the same source that leads Jesus to fast. And maybe for you to abstain from something or to give up something for Lent. It is that same Spirit, that same source that led Jesus to be in conversation with God on his journey, that leads us to conversation with God and with each other on our Lenten journey. The Spirit is trying to help Jesus prepare, just as the Spirit is trying to help us prepare for our everyday lives. That's why Jesus took the long way home, and it's why you have been invited onto this Lenten path. In Luke's gospel, it says that throughout Jesus' journey, he was tempted. Tempted by the devil, he was tempted by his humanity and its weakness as well. But as Jesus' trip draws to its conclusion, first of all, Jesus is famished, it says. And the devil returns with some real doozy temptations that all revolve around the word "if." If you are the Son of God, if you will but worship me, if you are the Son of God, once again. You see, in these moments, the devil is trying hard to define who Jesus will be, who Jesus is, and what hope Jesus might bring or not bring. You see, if you are the Son of God, is that first question that we hear today, and it's a question the devil asks to try and define who and how Jesus will be the Son of God. The devil knows that Jesus is famished, 40 days hungry. And so the devil poses a challenge. If you are the Son of God, then you can do miraculous things. And if you can do miraculous things, you could make these stones into bread and you could finally eat. If you really are the Son of God, that should be easy peasy. And you could check and make sure that your powers really work. There's the challenge. If you will worship me, is another question that the devil is asking so that he could define Jesus. Because if Jesus will worship the devil, then he really isn't the Son of God. And no matter how wonderful Jesus may be as the leader of the world, it is to God alone that worship is due. The devil knows that, and so does Jesus. If you are the Son of God, comes out again from the devil, and this time it's daring Jesus to do something splashy and spectacular. Dive off the temple, because God will save you. And when that happens, Jesus, the devil is saying, you will be a celebrity's celebrity. People will follow you from all over the place. Imagine it, how famous you will be and how powerful you would become. All of these temptations revolve around how Jesus responds to all of those devil's if questions. In the face of weakness from hunger, with all the problems in the world from Jesus' day to our very own day, and then also with our fascination with the unusual and the spectacular, the devil gave it their best shot. And Jesus stood strong and defined truly what it means to be a Son of God and to who it is that we should give our worship and praise. If is a powerful force, and it is easy to sort of sneak into conversation. Here in our gospel story, the devil asks if, in order to spread doubt, if Jesus will doubt his purpose and his mission, if Jesus will doubt who he is and what he is meant to do, then the devil has accomplished his job. The devil is also using it to define terms. The devil has an idea of how he would like the Son of God to be. And if he can get Jesus to agree to even some of that, the devil wins again. Ultimately, the devil is using if to stop Jesus. The devil wants to stop Jesus from loving neighbor and then showing us how to do that as well. The devil is trying to stop God's love from flowing to all of us, to distract us with something else altogether. It has worked before. But in today's gospel story, we get a glimpse that Jesus did not fall for the temptation. Jesus stayed true to his ministry, to his purpose. He stayed true to our salvation. The thing is, the devil, the world, and our sinful selves still try to tempt us the same way. If you are a Christian, well, then you must do this, or you must believe this, or you must let go of these. You see, the temptations that swirl around us try to define us. They try to lead us to doubt. And then they try to stop us from caring for our neighbor by making it look too hard or too silly or that they are not worthy. The devil is trying to get Jesus to look out for himself first. And that's what the temptations around us are doing all the time. So how can we survive as Jesus survived? Because, of course, I'm not Jesus. I've been confused as Jesus by some little toddlers. See you next week, Jesus, kind of thing. But I'm not Jesus, and neither are any of you. But we can follow Jesus and stand in the strength of God with us. Emmanuel is a word that we hear a lot at Christmas time. But it is just as true and just as powerful here in Lent. God truly is with us through Scripture, in prayer, with our sisters and brothers here at the table, all of these places and more. God is with us. You see, that's where Jesus turned to the God who was with him. Jesus responds to the questions, many of them, it is written. Jesus' response is him snuggling up to the presence of God found in Scripture. We can do that also. But of course, then we would say, I don't know Scripture the way Jesus does, and neither do I. But God is still with us. In Scripture, God is with us in prayer. Whenever temptation comes, we can come before God in prayer, seeking respite, seeking answers, seeking comfort and love. And then we can come here. And then to this table for the real presence of Jesus and the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. We can turn to one another for strength and help, for hope and peace. What Jesus shows us today is that God wins, not the devil. Jesus shows us that we can resist temptation and live as God's children. So if we can do that, then let's. Amen.